And now, Ben Bailey.
Take heed, brethren, beware, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest you be deceived or hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. Welcome to our study of Hebrews 3 and 4. This great book tells us about the supremacy of Christ, Christianity, and Christian living. And in chapters 3 and 4, we're now going to learn that Christ is greater than Moses and Christ is greater than Joshua. In chapter 3, we learn that Moses, he was a great leader, a great servant, and he was a great leader in God's house. But we learn that Christ is greater than Moses, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And we learn that our faith must be greater than the faith of those who followed Moses, chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. And so this wonderful chapter teaches us about a great contrast between Moses, an exemplary servant of God, and Christ, the very Son of God Himself. Notice chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The Scripture says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward, but Christ, as a son, over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence of rejoicing the hope, firm to the end." Here's the great contrast. Moses was a great servant among the people of God. Look at what all that Moses did. Moses stood up to the Egyptians. Moses himself led God's people. You know, God did the miracles, but Moses led the people of God out of the land of Egypt. Moses led them on dry ground through the Red Sea. Moses put up with their complaining and murmuring. Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai and received the law. He did so many great things as a servant for God and His people. But Christ is not a servant. Christ is a son over His own house. Moses was a servant in the house. Christ is over the house. Moses was a servant. Christ was the Son of God. Just as a son has more right, more power, more inheritance than a servant, so Christ is greater than Moses. Moses was a wonderful, compassionate, long-suffering leader of God's people. Jesus is Lord over God's people. And so, yes, Moses did great things, but realize today, Moses doesn't begin to compare with Jesus. Now, there's a very practical application here. If Christ is greater than Moses, then the deliverance Christ offers is greater than the deliverance Moses offered. The law that Christ brought is greater than the law that Moses delivered to the people. The escape, the help that Jesus offers is so much greater than the help and the escape that Moses offered his people. We're no longer fleeing Egypt from the bondage and tyranny of Pharaoh. Jesus delivers us from sin and the bondage and tyranny that we face under Satan, an evil, horrible taskmaster. Now, this chapter not only exalts Jesus over Moses, but there is a very practical application. Since Jesus is greater than Moses, our faith must be greater than the faith of those who followed Moses. Do you remember those people that followed Moses? The people who, after they had just sung the song of Moses in Exodus 14 and 15, are found complaining and murmuring, "Oh, how we wish we could go back to Egypt and be at the flesh pots again. Why did you bring us out here in this desert to kill us? Let's just take up and go back to Egypt." These are the people that we're talking about. The people who wandered for 40 years in the wilderness and their bodies perished there. Our faith has to be greater than the faith of those who followed Moses. You notice very carefully in Hebrews 3 that this text teaches us for our faith to be greater, we must listen more carefully than the wanderers did. Look in Hebrews 3 and verse 7. The Scripture says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion." Today, the emphasis here is just like, unlike those under Moses, we've got to be extremely careful to listen to what God says. Hebrews 2 and verse 1 says that we need to give the more earnest heed to the things we have spoken, lest we drift away. There is a recurring phrase to the seven congregations in Revelation 2 and 3. To him that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that we must take heed how we hear. Luke 8 verse 18. We must be careful what we hear. Mark 4 verse 24. And we must listen very carefully to the voice of God. The only way to listen carefully to the voice of God is to be sure and study the Scriptures for yourself, and to study them with an open and honest heart. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 is a perfect example of this. The Bible said these, the Bereans, were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness. They were ready to hear it. But what did they do next? They searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things they were taught were true to the will of God. That's what we need to do. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And so for our faith to be greater, we've got to listen more carefully and we've got to apply God's truth to our everyday life. For our faith to be greater, we need to encourage one another daily. Notice Hebrews 3 verses 12 and 13. A wonderful passage about Christians encouraging one another. The Bible says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We have got to encourage. The Bible has so much to say about our building one another up and encouraging one another. Hebrews 10 verses 24 through 26, we're to encourage one another daily. The Bible itself is an encouragement. Acts 20, verse 32, Paul said to the elders in Ephesus, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The Lord's body today needs people who are encouragers. There are way too many who are critics. There are way too many who are fault finders. We need people who will encourage, who will lift one another up. Jesus said, "This love have I taught you, that you ought to love one another." John 13, verses 34 and 35. The Hebrew writer himself said that we're to let brotherly love continue. If I love you and you love me, and we're trying to get to heaven and help one another get there, along the way, I may need encouraging. Along the way, you may need encouraging. We need to lift one another up. And notice why. While it's called today, this is what we've been promised today. This is all we have. The moment, the time we have right now is all that we're sure of. We have no promise of tomorrow. There is not a grand promise that we're going to live forever. In fact, the Bible speaks of life as very brief. James 4 verse 14, it's like a vapor. It's poured out like water. 2 Samuel 14 verse 14. Man who's born of woman is of few days. Job 14 1. We need not boast about tomorrow, for we don't know what tomorrow brings. Proverbs 27, 1. Today is all we have. Let's encourage. Let's uplift one another. And in so doing, we become different than those who fell and wandered for 40 years because we care for one another. Another way that we can be different, that our faith can be greater than the faith of those who perished in the wilderness, is we need to beware of unbelief. You notice Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says that lest through unbelief we fall into sin. Look at Hebrews 3 and verse 19 and notice what it says. The Bible says of those who wandered, "So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief." Now friend, these are not people who doubt there is a God. They've seen the 10 plagues. They saw the manna fall down from heaven. They saw Moses come down in his face shone, 2 Corinthians 3 says. These are people who knew there was a God, but they didn't enter into heaven, enter into the promised land because of unbelief. What does that mean? Although they believed in God in a knowledge aspect, in a mental assent, they didn't believe in God enough to take their faith out into daily life. Friend, this might be thought of as practical atheism. In a knowledge aspect, they believed there was a God, but when it came to daily life, they lived as though there were none. We need to be careful that we follow our faith out with true Christian living. We need to die daily to self, Luke 9, verse 23. We need to realize that we were bought at a price and that we are not our own, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. We need to realize that we are a living sacrifice for Jesus, Romans 12, verse 1. And friend, we need to say as Paul, I've been crucified with Christ. The way to be different than those who perished in the wilderness is to listen carefully to the Word of God, encourage one another along the way, and don't get caught up in a type of faith that just recognizes God alone, but doesn't get out and do anything. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, the writer is going to show us that Christ is greater than Joshua. Moses would come in first because Moses began leading God's people out of Egypt. But do you remember God punished Moses because instead of speaking to the rock, he struck it. Moses died at the brink of the promised land. It was Joshua who took the people and led them in. And so the Hebrew writer is going to show us in chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, that Christ offers a greater rest than Joshua. And then in verses 12 through 16, he's going to give us some incentives to make sure that we do make it into the promised land. How is Christ greater than Joshua? Here's how. In Hebrews 4, there are three rests that are mentioned. First of all, there is God's rest on the seventh day, the Sabbath day rest of God from which He ceased from all His labors, Hebrews 4, verse 4. There is the promised land rest, Hebrews 4, verse 8, which Joshua led God's people into. And so you've got the Sabbath rest, you've got the promised land rest, but then Hebrews 4, verse 9 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Jesus is greater than Joshua because although Joshua was a great servant, Jesus leads us into something far greater than the promised land. He can lead us into heaven itself.